Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, that you're not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought one to him, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They replied to him, "Caesar's." So Jesus said to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." They were utterly amazed at him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we have one of the most well-known comebacks of Jesus in the Gospel, something that when we turn to the Holy Spirit for the gift of counsel, we ask for the ability to do. Huge drama in the scene as they were trying to entrap Jesus in their speech. In the first sentence, you see just the type of opposition that Jesus was facing. You have the Pharisees and the Herodians conspiring to ensnare Jesus. It would be as if you had the Israelis and the Palestinians conspiring to entrap anyone. As if you had Al-Qaeda and counter-terrorists conspiring to entrap someone. He was getting it from both sides. The rigorous folks of the Pharisaical party and the extraordinary laxists of the Herodians. And they came up and they posed this question to Jesus about the census tax. The reason why it was so controversial was because you had to pay the census tax in Roman money. And the Roman money had the image of Caesar on it as an Augustus, as a divus, as a god. So the question for the Jews would be whether to use that money at all was to give pagan worship, because that's why divus or Augustus was put there on the coinage. An entrapment for Jesus, because if Jesus said, "Yes, it's fine," it was almost as if he was enabling idolatry. And if Jesus said, "No, it's not fine because of the image of a pseudo-god on the coinage," then he would be able to be turned over to the Romans as someone who was seditiously telling people not to pay taxes. They thought they had him. Jesus' first move in response to this, because he didn't panic, but he also could read their hearts. He called out right off the bat, "Why are you testing me?" He let them know he was on to them. And then he said, "Bring me a denarius," which shows, by the way, that they had denarii on them, that even though they were asking the question, they were using this money. So they were hypocrites in asking the question. And so they brought him one. "Whose image do you see?" "Caesar's." "Please, sister." Yeah. whose image do you see? Caesar's. And then he separated Caesar from Divus. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give to God the things that are God's. This real separation from this theocratic tendency to try to pretend as if secular authority is the same as God's. I want to focus on the second part. Giving to God the things that are God's. Everything belongs to God. And so it's essential for us, first, when we look in the mirror and see in whose image we're made, to give God the things that are God's, to give God everything. That is our logike latreia, as St. Paul says in Romans 12. The only worship that makes sense is to give our bodies as a holy, acceptable sacrifice to the Lord, our spiritual worship. But also, others belong to God. And so often it's necessary for us, when we want to cling on to someone that we love, someone who's a friend, to entrust that person to the God who out of love gave that person to us. Whether it's someone that we love who has died, in which we entrust it to the Lord. Whether it's a fellow sister who's being transferred or something else, we entrust that person to the Lord. We entrust the past to the Lord. We entrust the future to the Lord. We entrust the present to the Lord. We entrust to God whatever belongs to God. And we even entrust to God what doesn't belong to God, which is our sins. We allow Him to take what He paid such a precious price to buy on Calvary. To give to God the things that are God's has to be what inspires our whole life. And then when we begin to grasp that others likewise belong to God, we learn by the gift of the Holy Spirit how to treat them with true reverence. That brings us to today's first reading. Tobit was seeking to give to God the things that are God's. He was trying to give Him true worship. He did it in Jerusalem when nobody else was doing it, and he was going up to the temple alone. When everybody else was eating illicit food, he himself was eating accurately. And then, at the risk of his life, he was carrying out the task of burial, that real spiritual and corporal work of mercy combined. But after he was struck blind, in a way that I hope never happens to you, there his wife came back after working with a goat, and he refused to take her word for it. He challenged her, thought that she was lying, thought that nobody else could give charity when he himself had made his life on giving charity. That somebody else, when a wife had to go work because her husband could no longer work, struck down with blindness, and out of goodness for her virtue, gave a goat so that they'd be able to have something at table. He refused to accept that goodness. And Anna, at the very end of this reading, says, "Where are your charitable deeds now? Where are your virtuous acts?" See, your true character is finally showing itself. This is a common thing in the spiritual life. We are so good to strangers, we so focus on care for others, that we really forget who are our first neighbors. Thomas Aquinas, 800 years ago, talked about caring for people in faraway missionary territories without caring for the person who lives with you. And the Lord wants us first to love and respect those who are with us. Tobit was willing to risk his life to bury his kinsmen, but he wouldn't love and honor his wife. He wouldn't trust her. He wouldn't honor her hard work You wouldn't honor even the kindness of others, the charity of others given to their family. The Lord needed to help him to overcome that interior blindness because his heart was partially covered with a cataract. He wasn't giving to God the things that are God's because he wasn't giving gratitude for the great grace of his wife and the goodness given to both of them in their need. The saint we celebrate today, Saint Norbert, was someone who learned a little bit later of what God deserved. As a young man, he was very well educated. He was basically the head of finances in his region. And so he was constantly dealing with money. And he liked dealing with money. He liked holding those coins. And eventually the thought came to him that he would be able to gain even more money if he were a cleric because of the way the benefices worked at the time and how well connected he would be. That he could essentially start to gain regular income from these monasteries and these territories as long as he was a cleric and it inherited him. It was a system that a lot of people played, which had obviously not been designed by the Lord. So he was, and he was ordained. And he had started to go down that path of spiritual worldliness in the midst of sacred things. But the Lord gave him the gift of a deep conversion, and he realized that these things were not to belong to him, that not even his life was to belong to him, that he was called to give all to the Lord. And he responded to that grace of conversion. He began to give everything over to the Lord. He recognized that the Lord was calling him to nothing other than sanctity. And over the course of time, started to use those extraordinary talents God had given him totally for God in the service of those whom God loved so much that he entered the world in order to save. Eventually, in Premonstra, he founded the Premonstratensians, the Norbertines, we basically call them, in order to reform the church and to show people the way forward. He was a contemporary of Saint Bernard, who called him the water pipe of God because he was flowing now with the living water and it was totally turned up. The spigot was totally opened as he was pouring out that living water, watering the seeds that he had planted, that God had planted everywhere. Eventually, he was made the Bishop of Magdeburg, which is not something he had sought earlier. It would have been something, according to his spiritual worldliness, that he would have coveted because it was a rich see. When he got there, he strove to reform the clergy, which was very worldly, and the whole people, just like so many of the saints who have become bishops over the course of time, have worked really hard, first with the clergy and then with the people, so that they would learn to give everything over to God. Today, as we come forward to this altar today, the Lord asks us to look at ourselves. Whose image we're made in. And as God gives himself to us totally, gives us the opportunity to give ourselves totally back. And at the same time, we give our whole life, we give our loves, we give our family members, we give our prayers, we give our various intentions. We give it all over to him. The heart of the just one is firm, trusting in the Lord. Let us ask the Lord for that heart as we entrust ourselves totally to the one who vulnerably entrusts himself and his whole mission to our and others' generosity. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.